So last week, our media screen, for those of you know, died. It was done, so we had no media last week, and so we got all the pieces. We ordered everything on Amazon, the two-day shipping, got the computer, got everything set, and one piece didn't show up. So this one little adapter that connects is in the middle of the chain of connecting everything. Amazon messaged me and said, oh, we're sorry for the inconvenience. It'll be here Sunday at 4 p.m. I was like, thanks, Amazon. So I just wanted to say a special thank you to Ty and Trenton, worked tirelessly this morning, said, you know what? We can bypass the adapter for this Sunday and jimmy rig something. So wirelessly, they have the computer synced to the TV, and so we're going to get the notes up and the music. And so it was a little weird during music, but they somehow made it work. And so next week, it'll be all set. So thank you guys for doing that. That was spectacular. And Amazon let me down, but it's okay. Well, good morning. Good morning. I want to call up, can I call up you guys real quick? Come on up and come on up. And I just wanted to start our service praying in a couple different languages, just to start our service. There's something about bringing culture with the Spirit of God. There's just something about it. And so, Patty, would you lead us out in praying in Spanish for our service?
If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Señor mío, te pedimos, te damos gracias primero, Señor, por todo lo que haces por nuestras vidas, por tu presencia tan, tan dulce que es, que nos llena con tu alegría, Señor, que solo tú nos puedes dar. Te pido ahorita en este momento que estés, que tu Espíritu Santo esté con nosotros, que traigas nueva vida a cada persona que está aquí, Señor. Y te damos gracias por todo lo que tienes planeado para hoy. Que bendigas a cada persona que está aquí, Señor, y te damos gracias por tus bendiciones inmensas. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
亲爱的阿爸父神，孩子，感谢赞美你，主啊，感谢你让我们在这么好的教会里面聚会，主啊，我们知道你的圣灵与我们同在，你在我们当中跟我们一起在一起，主啊，感谢你医治我，也感谢你给我带来的所有许多的事情，主啊，我们感谢你，我请你今天保守牧师他的嘴巴讲出的道，让我可以听得懂，也请你保守在场的每一个人，有你圣灵满满的充足。 阿爸父神，虽然我们不知道前面的道路在哪边，可是我们知道你必与我们同在。阿爸父神，感谢你，我们知道你是垂听祷告的神。这样的祷告不配，奉主耶稣圣名，阿门。Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Was that special? How often do you hear Chinese and Spanish praying right? Oh. I already did pray in English. I will at the end. There's something special about Valentine's Day. There just is. There's just something. It's tangible. There's just something about it. And I wanted to preach on something. It's a little bit different, a little unique, and I have to preface what I'm speaking on. But have you ever, in what we're doing in praying in different languages, and have you ever been to a foreign country where you don't understand the language? Have you ever... or maybe you've been in this country and you don't understand language. Have you ever walked up to someone? And I was in Guatemala, and we were there for 14 days. And at one point, everyone decided they were annoyed by translating to me. So they just said, that is very true. She says it's not true. We'll leave it at that. So... we're there, and there was a lady who was speaking to us. We were at like a museum or something, or in the city, and a lady was speaking to me in Spanish just fast. And I could pick up a couple words, but it was really fast. And I'm just sitting there, and I have that quizzical look on my eye, and I'm just like, I know yo, quiero, and Taco Bell, and none of those words are in the middle of that, what you're saying. And so I was listening. And she sees that I don't understand, so she stops, says it again, but like louder. And I'm still like, and then she says it like louder and slower. And I'm like, just because you're saying it slowly to me doesn't mean I'm going to learn this language right now. And I thought about how many times I've been in the other shoes where it's like you try to say it louder in English and slower. It's like they're not going to learn right now in this moment, miraculously, the entire language that you've been speaking your entire life. And I was thinking about this in particular with the languages of love. Okay, that was a nice segue there. There are 5 love languages broken up. That's what the research says. There's 5 ways that people communicate love and receive love. Okay, and then the interesting thing is, since we're in the Made sermon series right now, we look at how things are beautifully made. We looked at canvases being made. We look at crayons being made by Mr. Rogers. All of the above. And this week, I want to focus on cupcakes. Because it's Valentine's Day, and how many people love cupcakes? Just 2 people raised their, maybe 3, 4. Okay, thanks. 2 people were drooling over the cupcake on the podium to raise their hands right now. But there are 5 parts of the cupcake when we give it to someone. There's five parts of the process of the cupcake. Interesting. 5 love languages? 5 parts of the process of the cupcake, and 5 points today. It's all working together. I love when things come together. God really impressed on my heart to speak on love this Sunday. Thanks for snorting. not a message geared towards people in relationships or out of relationships, but simply on the understanding of how to communicate love and receive love. Because there's so much offense and problems and miscommunication and hurtfulness because love is not understood. It's like when you're trying to speak to someone in a foreign language and they aren't getting it and you're not getting it, and then you're just frustrated. And you're like, I need to go to the bathroom. They're like, ah. You know, it's like if you can't communicate your love well, a lot of times people start emotionally shutting down and shutting off, and there's rifts that are formed in the relationships. That's just what happens if you don't understand how to give and receive it. And so today, this might just be review for people. You're like, got it, nailed it, it's good, we're ready to go. But for some of us, we may have never heard or understood this in our lives. And this is so pivotal. And God specifically gave this message to preach today because I'm going to explain at the end why. You know, I in doing this research, I thought it was interesting because this. Most people try to show their love to others how they want to be loved. And a lot of times, the other people don't necessarily care how you show your love. They want to be loved how they like to be loved. And there's this miscommunication that happens. There's something that's just not connecting right. And I want to get in that today. So number one, moving right along. The first type of love language is acts of service. Acts of service. Act of service. And I think we might be able, no points or points today? Working on, okay. You guys are killing it back there, so do a good job. Number one, acts of service. This is the part of the cupcake where it's making the cupcake. So in the whole process, the five parts of a cupcake, this is making it. This is putting it together. This is taking the flour, the sugar, the eggs, the crayons, whatever you put into a cupcake goes into, I've never made a cupcake. Whatever goes into it. And your love, if you're an act of service love person, is actually making the cupcake. You're sitting there and you love that person so much, you're putting all this stuff together and you're smiling and you're thinking about them, and that's your favorite part of the cupcake. That's not necessarily giving it to them, it's not necessarily sitting down eating with it. It's you just like to make it. And you sit there and you spend the extra like 2-3 hours getting the best ingredients because you're an act of service type of love communicator. That's who you are. That's how you give your love, is by doing things for other people. And adversely, when you see someone loving you, you only equate love if they do something for you. Like if you come into your home and someone decided to cut your grass, you're like, whoa, they love me so much, right? Or if you made a mess or something happens, like clean it up or whatever, or if you leave your socks next to the hamper because you're throwing it from the bed when you get into bed and they pick it up, that was a little too specific. That doesn't happen in our house. But or the Babla household. It's basketball from the bed every night. Just, you got to work on that free throw. I keep working on it. I get like 1 out of 50 in. I mean, that's decent. It sounds all right. Okay. That's the act of service. So the pros of this is you know that you receive love the most when people do things for you. And that the hardship is if they don't do something for you, you mentally think, oh, they don't love me. And that's the hard issue. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the English meets the Spanish. How come you're not doing things for me like I'm doing for you? And what's funny is sometimes they're not even an acts of service person who enjoys love. So you're doing things for them, and they're like, why are you doing this? Like, I don't care if you do this. And you're like, because I love you. Receive my love. And you're just like, it's not matching up. Do you know, 5 parts of the cupcake, 5 love languages, and did you know there's 5 ways that God demonstrated his love? It's wild. It all lines up. I love doing theme messages like this. Do you know Jesus demonstrated his love through acts of service? He'd walk through the cities and he'd walk up to people and he'd have compassion because he loved them so much, and he would heal them. He would say, your hand, let me heal that. You have leprosy, let me fix this. He demonstrated his love to people through that, through service, through helping. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. I'm so glad y'all came on Valentine's Day. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is showing his love to her by saying, I will give you this, I will do this, I will put this together for you. I will serve you by fixing your life. This woman, we find out, she's in her life, it's crazy. She is a hot mess right now. She has guys upon guys and relationships going on, and they're all secret, and all the many husbands. There's things going on. And he's like, I will serve you by fixing you right now, but I need you to demonstrate this by serving me. So he's giving out his love by serving and asking for it back by serving. It's like, let's speak the same language in this moment together. I wrote this down. I don't know where I heard it. I couldn't find it. I just heard this at one point in my life. And I was absolutely in love with this quote. It says, God loves you enough to meet you where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Ooh. That's like a nice one to hear at first, and you start thinking about it, and you're like, ooh. Kind of hurts a little. Like, thank you, Jesus. I love you. Now let's move forward. Okay. Out of the 5 love languages, I found write-ups from different people, and I want to share, this is one of the write-ups. Do you remember the old saying, actions speak louder than words? Yep. For some people, that is particularly true of love. If acts of service is your spouse's primary love language, and this is going to be on spouses, and for those of you who don't have spouses, just substitute relationships in your mind, friendships and all that. Spouse's love language. Nothing will speak more deeply to him or her emotionally than simple acts of service. Maxine, who had been married for 15 years, came to my office one day because she was frustrated with her marriage. Listen to what she said. I don't understand David. Not you, David. I don't understand David. Every day he tells me that he loves me, but he never does anything to help me. He just sits on the couch watching TV while I wash the dishes, and the thought never crosses his mind to help me. I'm sick of hearing, I love you. If he loved me, he would do something to help me. Some of you are having like these aha moments right now. Maxine's primary love language is acts of service, not words of affirmation. And even though her husband David loved her, he had never learned to express his love in a way that made her feel loved. However, after David and I talked and he read the five love languages, he got the picture and started speaking Maxine's love language. In less than a month, her love tank was beginning to fill up, and their marriage moved from winter to spring. The next time I talked to Maxine, she said, "It's wonderful. I just wish I'd come for counseling 10 years ago. Never knew about the love languages. I just knew I didn't feel loved." Douglas Adams says, "To give real service, you must add something which cannot be bought or measured with money. And that is sincerity and integrity." In love languages, the goal isn't to transform people. The goal is to understand who you love and how they receive love. It's almost wrong to try to fix everyone else around us to fit our how we receive love. It's more about, well, how do you receive love, and how can I love you so you know that you're loved by me? Because I want to say this, it's kind of wrong to go around thinking, oh, everyone else is messed up. You know, well, are they? Or is there a little part that if you switch in your brain with some understanding, you'd really be able to move farther in relationships and life? There's something about understanding how other people receive love and saying, oh, you really love when I say good job. Oh, you really love when I surprise you with a gift. You really love when I, and there's something about that. See, when we communicate our love properly to people, we get in sync on languages. We get in sync on all of the above. All right. Number two, gift giving. So the cupcake has been made. The love of assembling all the components of the cupcake are now together. Okay? Now it comes the actual, oh man, good job. I got the thumbs up of we figured it out. It's fancy. So the process of putting it together is now complete. And now the next step is actually giving it to someone. Number two, gift giving. Gift giving. The second love language is gift giving. Okay. Jesus, how he demonstrated his love for us in regards to gift giving, was the literal action of giving his life for us. The greatest gift anyone can give is their life. You can't give anything better. If Jesus showed up and said, you know, I don't want to die today because it's painful, but here's a cupcake, hope you feel better. A little bit different, right? I still hurt inside, but the cupcake is tasty, you know? There's a difference. He gave the ultimate gift because he's the ultimate gift giver, because he loved us so much. 1 John 3:16, I think I've used this verse the most out of the last 2 years I preached here. It's one of my favorites. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his son for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. There's something about giving. When we portray our love and we have the love language of giving, do you know it's this idea of you always know a person who speaks the love language of giving because they're always bringing in like gifts and it's like, oh, I saw this and I was thinking of you. And it's not about like the extravagance of the gift. It's just that it's you. You know, it could be worth 4 pennies, but it's like you. You know that? And it's like they're always giving. That's a person who has a love language of gift giving. And how they receive love back is by getting those time thought out gifts. It's like those things that are, you see them come in and it's like, have you ever seen when someone is a gift giver and then they get a gift and they're like, oh, you shouldn't have, oh my. And they take the tissue out and then they fold it all slowly because it's like the process of the gift and they pull it, oh my goodness. And then they have the bag and then it's like set so carefully down. And they look at the gift and they inspect all of it and, you know, it's like portrayed in the living. You know, it's just the gift givers. When they're given a gift, it's like, wow. But when someone's not a gift giver and they mesh up, the gift giver usually gets really offended fast because that other person doesn't understand. I demonstrate my love through saying, thank you, I love you. And words mean everything to me. But when I sync up with the gift giver, it's like, oh, I love you so much. And they're like, that's it? What? We're not in syncopation here. It's not lining up. And so for gift givers, you have to understand that it's not about how you're getting back. It's man, my love is demonstrated this way. And so when you're in a relationship with someone or a friendship, they need to understand if you're a gift giver, oh, they respond to gifts. Let me bring this along. All right. From the 5 love languages, says this, in every society throughout human history, gift giving has been perceived as an expression of love. Giving gifts is universal because there is something inside the human psyche that says, if you love someone, you will give to him or her. What many people do not understand is that for some people, receiving gifts is their primary love language. It's the thing that makes them feel loved most deeply. If you're married to someone whose primary love language is gift giving, you will make your spouse feel loved and treasured by giving gifts on birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, and no occasion days. The gifts need not be expensive or elaborate. It's the thought that counts. Even something as simple as a homemade card or a few cheerful flowers will communicate your love to your spouse. Little things mean a lot to a person whose primary love language is receiving gifts. H. Jackson Brown Jr. said, remember that the happiest people are not those getting more, but those giving more. I wanted to have a lot of illustrations and quips and stories today, just because I like stories. But on gift giving, I wanted to share this. The owner of a drive-through coffee business in Portland, Oregon, was surprised one morning when a customer not only paid for their mocha, but also for the mocha of the person in the car behind her. The owner smiled as she told the next customer her drink had already been paid for. The second customer was so pleased that she bought coffee for the next customer. The string of kindness, one stranger paying for the mocha of the next customer, continued, ready, for 2 hours. 2 hours. That's how it is with God's love. It starts with his unexpected love for us, which is passed on to others who in turn pass it on. Gift givers. Gift givers. The greatest thing that builds you up is gifts. Little things, small things, anything like that. But the greatest thing that tears you down is when people don't. It's like you're that feeling of, well, do you not love me? I love you so much. I thought about you all the time. And you have to learn to say, that's not how they communicate their love. They're communicating it this way. It's growing up and saying, you know what? Someday we'll have that talk and we'll be able to get on the same language. All right, number three, physical touch. Physical touch. It's a love language. This is the moment in the cupcake where it's been made, it's been given as a gift, but then there's the hug and the embrace and the thank you so much. Oh, I hope you love it. And you're that physical touch person. And the act of the cupcake, you probably, if you're a physical touch person, you probably didn't make it yourself. You're probably like, I don't care. I want to just go buy it because I want to be with that person and give them a hug and just say how much I love them. Okay? The part of the process of the cupcake is like the middle part. It's you know? When you hug someone, you say you're loving them. This is the type of person that, if you're a physical touch type of person, where from the outside, it's real quick to see if you love someone or don't love someone. Because your proximity and closeness represents your love to people. It's very telling. Like if you're mad at someone, you're like, hey, how you doing today? Oh, it's great. Oh, well, I'm glad you're here. You know? But if you're in love with that, oh, man, how you doing? Oh, it's so good. You know, they're like the close talkers and the, oh, let's hold hands while we talk kind of person, you know? And it's the physical touch people. That's who they are. Like, you know, the people that just, like, keep hugging, like, they're on, you become two people now. It's like they're the physical touch people. Bless you. Physical touch. Jesus demonstrated this type of love by stepping out of heaven onto earth and physically being here so he could touch his creation. He could be with his creation. It was more than just a faith action of imagining God was up in the heaven. He said, no, there's people here who need my love just by me touching them. And by understanding this embrace, they'll pass it along. And then my love will be demonstrated through people as they encounter. Some people only can experience God's love when they're in worship and they're holding hands with someone. When they're in prayer, they have to be embracing or to receive what's happening. That's the physical touch people. If they're standing there and you're praying and you're not putting your hand on their shoulder or something like that, they think, oh, does God not love me right now? Because my entire love is wrapped up in being touched. And so they can negatively associate that with proximity, with being touched at that moment. John 1:14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I just love the idea that God understood how he made humanity and he demonstrated those five types of love to us. It's just so unique, so special. Part of the five love languages says this. We have long known the emotional power of the physical touch. That's why we pick up babies and touch them tenderly. Long before an infant understands the meaning of the word love, he or she feels loved by physical touch. If physical touch is your primary love language, nothing communicates love more clearly than someone to take the initiative to reach out and hug you. It's the initiative. It's like if you're a physical touch type of person, you're sitting there and you're like, I wonder if they love me. Are they going to touch me first? Are they going to hold my hand first? Are they going to hug me first? Because you're waiting on their embrace to you to understand the 0 to 10 level of love they feel towards you. And you can get wrapped up in that and you get frustrated if it doesn't happen because there can be a disconnect. Because if their love language, you're just here, if their love language is gift giving, they give you the cupcake and you're like, okay. And you're like, oh, do they just give it? Is there something, a hidden agenda? Because they didn't hug me. Now they didn't say anything. What's going on? I don't understand this. They gave me a cupcake, but, you know, and you get really messed up on this. It's the initiative. If your friend or relative or coworker or spouse or whoever it is a love language of physical touch, it's all about you taking the initiative, and that demonstrates your love. Doesn't matter about the gift you give. Doesn't matter about the words you say. Doesn't matter about anything else in the situation. It's the initiative of saying, man, I love you so much. Oh, sometimes you don't even say anything. You just hug them, and they're like, oh, I know you love me. Henry Nouwen says, he has so many great quotes. When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm hand. I think he loved their physical touch. Bill Keane said this, a hug is like a boomerang. You get it back right away. Thought it was funny and quirky. When I come home, my daughter will run to the door and give me a big hug, and everything that's happened that day just melts away. Hugh Jackman. It's about understanding how you function and how those around you function, because oftentimes they don't receive the same affection that how you receive it. It needs to line up. It's getting a Rosetta Stone of the heart right now. Number four, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. This is the words that come with the cupcake when you give it to someone. This is the card. Words of affirmation, people, like, they do care about the present. They love it. They're like, oh, I can't wait to use this. This is fantastic. But it's about the card. You know, like, if there's no card there, it's like, do you really love me? Like, you get the present. You always know a words of affirmation person, like at a birthday party, because they get the present there, and they're like turning it, looking, where's the card? I need to see the words that come with this present right now, or else it doesn't matter. Like, that is what's needed on a words of affirmation person. Like, you open it up, and they open up the card, and this is the words. They open up, and they're like, give me a tissue. And then the card, you go to a words of affirmation household, and they have, like, the Christmas cards from 2004 sitting up on their fridge, you know, because it was so beautifully written, the words that came out. And words of affirmation, they're the person where when you give the cupcake, you're like, I love you so much. And they're like, you do love me because you said it. And it's... Why do I know so much about words of affirmation? Because my wife is a words of affirmation person. And we had a hard time syncing up our love languages together at first, because my love language, I'll get to next, wasn't syncing up. I was having a hard time, and I remember we were talking one night, and she's like, you know, like, this and this and this, and, you know, laundry listing things, and I was just like, what? I'm making her out to be the bad guy, but she's not. She's good. And she was going through some stuff, and I was like, in my head, I was like, I do love you. I was sitting there. I didn't say anything, but I love you. And I was saying that in my head. and then she would just stare and wait for a response, and I'm just silent. And our miscommunication was happening quite greatly until we realized how to communicate to each other through our love languages. Matthew, what is it? Go ahead.
Asking, what do you want me to say, does not.
Oh. Yeah, doesn't. So what she said, in case you didn't hear it, for all the podcasters, for words of affirmation person, don't ever say, well, what do you want me to say? Just tell me what to say and I'll say it. That destroys all of it. All the, ugh. Matthew 3:17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, and him I am well pleased. That's such a powerful statement. not because of what was said in that moment, but the timeline that it was said. Did you know God told Jesus, "This is my son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased"? He was pleased with Jesus before Jesus lifted a finger and did anything. Do you know, that's wild to me. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He walked out of his home and walked to a river and got baptized, and that was where God said, "I'm pleased with you." Jesus hadn't gone around healing yet. He hadn't collected any disciples. He hadn't started the movement that is Christianity today. He had just been himself. God said, I'm so pleased. I couldn't be more pleased with you." God demonstrates his love through words of affirmation. The Bible. Words of affirmation, people can't get enough reading in their Bible. Because it's this love language that God has written this love book to them, and they just eat it up. They are the ones that just can't stop reading the Bible, just read it. And that's a words of affirmation person. Part of the five love languages, here's out of this. One time, when my wife and I were visiting our daughter and son-in-law and our two grandchildren, our son-in-law took the garbage out after dinner. When he walked back into the room where we were talking with our daughter, she looked up and said, "John, thanks for taking the garbage out." Inside, I said, "Yes!" Because I knew the power of appreciation. I can't tell you how many men and women have sat in my office over the past 30 years and said to me, "I work my tail off every day, yet my spouse acts like I haven't done a thing. I never get a single word of appreciation." If your spouse's primary love language is words of affirmation, your spoken praise and appreciation will fall like rain on parched soil. Before long, you'll see new life sprouting in your marriage as your spouse responds to your words of love. See, words of affirmation, people, they really do well when you just say, "Man, thank you so much. Oh, I honor you. I respect you." You have to say what you're feeling towards them, because that's what they respond to. It's not about doing a million things for them. It's not about all the extravagant gifts. It's not about any of that. It's not about hugging them extra. It's just saying, "I value what you do." And that's more than anything they could ever hope. That is like, that's it. That'll fill their tank up. But if they were on empty, if they were depleted, if they were frustrated, worn out for the day, no matter the worst day of their life, if you just come in and say, "Man, you are so valued. Oh, I love you." That's like, whoop. It's like going to a gas station and filling up on full, you know? That's what that is to a words of affirmation person. No matter what people tell you, I want to share some quotes. No matter what people tell you, words and ideas can change the world. Robin Williams. Henry Nouwen said, he has another quote, "Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and the life to come." Joel Osteen says, "You can change your world by changing your words. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue." William Arthur Ward said, "God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you?" So good. Number five. It's the act of eating the cupcake. It's the last one. You got to do something with it. You can't just like bronze it and let it sit on your shelf. It's the act of eating the cupcake together. Quality time. Number five, quality time. Quality time. Jesus spent time with people that followed him. He wasn't about saying, "All right, let's do this. Okay, now go home. I need to binge watch this television show. Just be away from me." No, he's like, "Let's go walk around together for 3 years straight. I might go and pray with myself twice in the 3 years, but we're going to spend a lot of time together." He was a quality time kind of God. He just wanted to spend every minute with people, just investing who he is as the creator of the universe in the time he spent with them. John 3:22 says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. It's just about the time. It's like that time just adding up, just saying, I don't care if we say anything. I don't care if we do anything. I just want to be next to you. That's a quality time love language person. Doesn't matter what we do, what we say, we're just going to be together. This is my primary love language. So for me, it's like the more time I spend with you, it's like it's just showing the love. So when my wife and I, we'd hang out or do something or go somewhere, like on a road trip, I'd just be silent and just soaking in. I'm like, man, I love her so much. And these are going in my head. And I'm just like loving it. I'm just taking in life. It's wonderful. And inside she's like, why isn't he saying anything right now? He doesn't like me. He's not saying, what's happening? And that's our disconnect. I'm just that quiet. I just want to listen. I just want to be in the moment. I just like it. I just enjoy being there. Having our attentions together. You know, that's who I am. Listen to this. If your spouse's love language is quality time, giving him or her your undivided attention is one of the best ways you can show your love. Some men pride themselves on being able to watch television, read a magazine, listen to wives, all at the same time. That is an admirable trait, but it is not speaking the love language of quality time. Instead, you must turn off the TV, lay the magazine down, look into your mate's eyes, and listen and interact. To your spouse, 20 minutes of your undivided attention, listening and conversing, is like a 20-minute refill of his or her love tank. Man, if you really want to impress your wife, the next time she walks into the room while you're watching a sporting event, put the television on mute and don't take your eyes off of her as long as she's in the room. If she engages you into conversation, turn the TV off and give her your undivided attention. You'll score 1,000 points and her love tank will be overflowing. It's so true. I'm speaking from experience. For me, I'm a quality time type of person. Like if someone's sitting there and we're like hanging out, just doing nothing, or like we're talking and they pull out their phone and start doing it, I'm like, I don't want to punch them. But I kind of do. You know, it's like, we're spending time together. Is that person more important than me? Like, it drives me nuts. It's like, come on, what's going on here? And so, just so you know, phones in church, like, drives me up a wall. It makes me go crazy. So, I'm just letting you know, that's just me. It's quality time. There's something about quality time for a quality time person who demonstrates and shows their love. And the pros and cons, it's I'm going to spend as much time as I can with my wife and my children. But the cons are like, if we're busy, we're doing things, we have to take care of tasks, I can get real agitated real fast. Like if we're at the Trader Joe's or something, which is like mine and my daughter's like date place, we go there a couple times a week. And we'll walk around, not doing anything. Like we have no agenda. We don't need groceries. I just want to spend time with my daughter and get like free coffee. Like that's what I want to do. It's hot. It's ready. And we'll just walk around pushing the cart, pretend like we're gonna buy some stuff, and just spend. That's my love language. But if I go shopping and it's like we're all, the family's together and we have to rush and do things, it's like I'm like, slow down. Let's just spend time doing nothing. You know, and it's like my tank drains rather than gets filled. It's quality time people, it's on the cupcake portion, it's the end of it. It's you have the cupcake come in and it's delivered. And for a quality time person, you don't really care that the cupcake's there. You're like, oh, that's me, okay. You know, I'm so glad, that's wonderful. I like sugar, okay. You know, but if you sit down and enjoy the cupcake with a quality time person, that's the home run. Like, I brought us two cupcakes, and let's share it together. And maybe let's walk around outside. That person will be like, oh, this person loves me. You know, that's, to quality time, that's it. That is the home run. When you sit down and say, man, let's just go walk or something. Let's just do something. Like that's the quality. That's it. Unfortunately, if someone else's love language is not quality time. They're like, I'm busy, I got stuff to do, I really thought about you, I really like you, I got you this wonderful present, now I got to go. And you're like, oh, what? You know, present's okay, but I wanted you. The gift is wonderful, but I want to enjoy the giver with the gift. And so there can be a misstep, a miscommunication, a different language breach if you don't grasp it together. I want to read from this book. Okay, here it is. Today I visited a little girl dying of cancer. Her body was disfigured by her disease and its treatment. She was in constant pain. As I entered her room, I was overcome by her suffering, which seemed unjust, unfair, unreasonable. Even more overpowering was the presence of her grandmother lying in bed beside her, her huge body embracing this precious 8-year-old. I stood in awe, knowing I was on holy ground. I'll never forget the great, gentle arms of this grandmother. She never spoke, but simply held her granddaughter, participating in the suffering that she could not relieve. No words could express the magnitude of her love. There's something about quality time people that give and receive love. Something about it. I was so impressed by sharing love on Valentine's Day. And it's kind of like a risky sermon. Because a lot of people can just be hurt from past relationships and equate all love and to that. If you were hurt in the past and now you share in that suffering every Valentine's Day and you're like, I hate it. And it's a risky message, but I didn't want it to be like that. I wanted to give you understanding of who you are and who people are around you. Because God has a purpose for that. If the enemy allows you to stop growing and allows you to focus on your past hurts rather than God's future plans of love, you become an ineffective tool in God's hand. You don't hammer a nail in with the back end of a hammer. That's silly. It doesn't work well. I tried it as a kid. I was a weird kid. David's looking right at me. You have to use the hammer facing forward to hammer in the nail. It's just how it works. To be the most effective person, you have to be focused forward and not allow the enemy to turn you around to your past. James 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give to you, let you love one another as I have loved you. Let you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This next season, we're really, really focused on outreach and speaking to people in this community. That is like our major focus. This past focus was focusing on investing and building up leaders in the church and understanding who we are and what our mission is. And this next season I shared in January is, how do we accept and receive people to come to our church? How do we accept someone new? How do we demonstrate our love to someone who walks through these doors? Because that's what God's calling us right now in this room. When someone walks in these doors, it's brand new. How are they received? How are they showed God's love? God gave us a word through a very prophetic person saying that in all of Ventura, there's a lot of churches here. It's a very church city. And every church has a main focal point of programs for meeting the needs of everyone who's looking for something very specific. That's what most churches, that's what their DNA is in Ventura. We've done the analysis, we've looked around. And he said, this church, Lighthouse, it's different because it has something very unique that nowhere else will offer in this coming season. He said, if you look at Ventura, it's like all these storms and trying to get, oh, we have a better children, we have a better, we have, and you're competing to reach people that are just churched. Well, come to our church now. Oh, come back, we have the, But the prophetic word of our church is we are this bubble, if you will, that God has placed over us. That anyone who enters in will have the peace of God. We might not have all the programs that everyone has to offer, but we have something that not a lot of people can offer. It's just the peace and love and wholeness and welcoming that other people will have. But here's the deal. That weight is on all of our shoulders. Because when someone comes in expecting to find that peace of God, whoever they meet first, you're it. If they come in and someone's just having a bad day and says, yeah, just go grab a seat, we're good. That's not the peace of God. That's like the annoying of God. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't know if that's a thing. But listen to this. You are the ambassador of God to these people coming in. Me personally, I have been mandated to equip you to represent God well to his children that are hurting for peace. You are the ambassador. You are the one that welcoming. When someone's new, we should be fighting over saying, man, I want to pray with you. Can you sit next to me? There is nothing more powerful than someone to say, someone new, hey, would you sit next to me in church today? Nothing more powerful in the world. Because when someone comes to a new place and they're like, I don't know where to sit. Is there an open seat? It's like uncomfortable. Have you ever been like your first day of school, you know, and you sit down? Do you know the statistics? Your lifelong friends are usually the people that sit next to you in the first day of school because they sat next to you. There's really no other reason. Because they were welcomed. It's great. I looked back and I was like, that can't be true. It's true. It's crazy. He has been setting up miraculous appointments with people, divine appointments, positioning them well to get encountering people in our church. Through your day-to-day life, through coming in through the door, your peace, your love, you are the tool of God to represent him well. Wear that mandate heavy. Know that when you come in here, it's on mission. Your mission is to bring the peace of God to people that come in. It's crazy. My wife and I, we keep having dreams, and other people in the church have dreams of, we're just sitting in church, and I feel like I'm fully awake having a church service in my dreams at night. And I'll wake up, and I'm like, that was a dream? That was so real. And it's like I see all these faces, and I see everyone here just loving on people from our community. Not because they're trying to find the biggest and best program that's running, but because they need the peace of God. Something that not a lot of people can offer. But it's wild, and I'm so off topic right now. I'm so on a tangent. But I feel it's valid and important, especially on Valentine's Day. Did you realize the DNA of our church, what we're made up of? Really, think about it. We have some of the most phenomenal stories I've ever heard of. People with long suffering trying to find, you know, that heartache and hurt of trying to have a child for years. And there's people suffering in our community that will go to other churches and try to find a program that will never fill that peace spot. But then talking to a family in our church saying, I was there and you're going to make it through because God loves you. You know, that no program can offer that in Ventura, just us. And God's positioning people to start coming in here. But it's hinging on us becoming the tools and the ambassador of God. Does that make sense? This next season, it's so pivotal in our church because God has allowed some horrendous things to happen in our lives, but we made it through because he knew that you were strong enough to make it through because you can impact other people's lives like no one else can. You're it. We're it. I care so deeply that you, everyone here, I want to read this out because I have it written down. I care so deeply that you have the ability to make a change in your life. Whatever it is, whatever you need to work on, whatever you need to change, I care so deeply. I'm here for that. I'll pray with you. I'll spend time with you, whatever it is. But I also care that you become the change for someone else. It's a two-part. Make the change, be the change. Have the ability to allow God to work in your life, but be available and be the tool for someone else to experience God, the peace of God. There's going to be people walking in here that are so broken, but they'll have a smile on their face, and you're like, oh, they're so nice. And inside, they're like, I'm at the end of my rope. I just need someone to love me. And you're it. All right. The last thing I'll say before communion is this. There's nothing worse than a rotten, moldy cupcake. Has anyone ever eaten like moldy food on accident? It's nasty. You get all your penicillin for like the next 5 years in one bite. There's nothing worse than it. Because the only reason it goes moldy is if it wasn't given or enjoyed or taken together in the right time. Right? That's the only reason it goes moldy, because you make it and you're like, oh, I'll get it to him eventually, and it was never given. Your job, if you choose to accept it, is to make sure that your love language syncs up in time. You can't excuse away whatever. Say, oh, I'll give it eventually. Oh, this is happening. No, it's today. Start today. Don't allow whatever it is to mold and fester in your life of past hurts. It's gone. Just let it wash away with all the crazy Ventura storms. It's gone. Today, I want to start. I want to start loving the people in my community. I want to start loving people in my home. I want to step up to this. I have insights now that I was loving people where they couldn't receive it. Step it up today. Would you all close your eyes and can I get a couple ushers to pass out communion today down the rows? So that would be David and one other person that would be willing to help with that. And worship team, if you could join us on the stage. Go ahead and close your eyes. Lord, you loved us first. If we have no other reason to say every person has hurt me in my life, everything, no one has loved me. Even if that is our excuse, you loved us first. You knew us before we were born. You knew us in the womb. You had a purpose and a plan for our lives. Let us understand on this Valentine's Day that we are taking up the charge to love your children. We are understanding that some people aren't out to get us, but merely they don't understand how to love. Lord, let us receive your love today. Let us receive the love of our friends and our family today. Man, let us have such a wonderful day and not be fixated on whatever else the enemy wants to throw at us, to take our attention on the purpose and plan you have for us. God, as we take this communion together during worship, pray that we just be reminded of your love. Be reinforced that how you loved us. Be reminded that you have a purpose and a plan for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you all stand and let's worship? The usher is going to pass out communion right now. And it's individual today. When you get it, go ahead and take it and pray for yourself. Yeah.
sheep.